hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Now, I'm in the Galapagos, so I'm recording the show here today and traveling around before we actually head on a plane in the Galapagos and record a show from the deck of the new Humboldt Explorer. You're going to hear all about that here in a couple weeks. In the meantime, I'm hanging out with my friends in the Florida Keys. Right now, we're in Isla Mirada at the Island Grill. Just over the Snake Bridge, is that right?
I'm doing the Snake Creek Bridge almost, right? Yeah.
Captain Slade here with me.
What's that? It's right next to the drawbridge. It's where you hear the traffic going by.
Yes. And a beautiful hangout. Typical, you know, Florida Keys type of hangout where you're out under the stars, outdoor bar, open air. It's just beautiful.
People
nice atmosphere. What's that?
People pulling up in their boats for dinner.
Right, exactly. They just pull up to the marina here at the Island Grill, have some food, grab a cocktail, and, you know, that's pretty much what they do every day here in the Florida Keys. Take it from Mermaid Tony. She does this constantly, and it's a lifestyle choice, right?
It really is, and life is not bad living down here. Everything's on the water, by the water. You gotta love it.
Gotta love it, indeed. Now, Captain Slade, as you heard, is here. Mermaid Tony. Neil Watson, the dive god. You know, we go back day. You know what? What's funny? I'm looking over at these two guys, Neil Watson and Captain Slade. And these are two of the first guests I've ever had on Scuba Radio. And we've become good friends over the years. And we're here together. Very seldom do I get you two troublemakers on one show at the same time. Well, with the exception of your birthday there a few weeks ago.
Well, there's a federal law against us being together, but
in the Florida Keys, it's kind of like going out in international waters down here. It's like a sovereign country, the Conch Republic, so you're allowed to kind of rendezvous in places like this, right?
Well, that plus I'm very good friends with the sheriff, so he's not going to bother us.
Okay, there you go. It's always who you know, right, Neil?
Always.
Yeah, Neil could never get away with this up in South Florida where he resides. So come down to the Keys, anything goes. So we're going to hear some classic stories, I have a feeling, this evening, because they're both kicking back with a cocktail. Well, Captain's late's not, but he has a cigar. You're feeling good, right?
I am feeling good. Neil brought me a cigar, never lets me down.
Yeah, exactly.
I go to the Neil Watson cigar store, and that's where I get them.
Yeah, well, exactly. And Neil has quite the humidor collection there or something. Cigars that he puts in his humidor.
I'm the Slate cigar pimp.
Yes, and what's your what's the girl's name that is your humidor?
What?
Forget it. I was going to say. I was setting you up, but we'll just leave it alone. He's wearing a T-shirt tonight, by the way, that says, the liver is evil and must be punished. Is that? Are you on a mission?
Yes. yes, we have a problem here. I'm working on a fund. I've set up a nonprofit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm raising money for my liver transplant.
Oh, okay. Nice. Well, you know, when we were in Grenada, we were doing a little bit of that ourselves. And I just got wind last week that the Scuba Cowboys working on a new song called Can I Borrow Your Liver? Which we came up with that title in Grenada, didn't we, Lacey?
I'm pretty sure we did, and that was after the sake bombs, or during the sake bombs.
It might have been, yeah. I might have assisted in coming up with that title. I said, all right, you're the country musician. I'll give you the... the germ of an idea, and you go with it. And evidently, he has a whole new song out of it, and we'll debut that on Scuba Radio here in a few weeks. Now, CJ is with me too. He actually did his first dive in a little bit over a year because he's he actually has a real job. But I finally forced him to come down here with me to the Florida Keys. He did his refresher dive on the Benwood wreck today as they enjoyed their little race, their little scooter race. But how did you hold up there, CJ?
I loved it, man. Anytime underwater is a good time. You know?
Exactly. It's better down where it's wetter is what you're trying to say, I guess.
And also, I would like to state for the record, a good woman is a good woman, but a good cigar is a smoke.
Okay. I'm not sure what that means, but it sounds impressive. Neil?
I just want to find out who CJ's barber is.
Exactly. All right. Well, you know what? You're going to have to look at the pictures on the website to appreciate that joke.
Mr. Norelco.
Okay. Fair enough. So, CJ's down here enjoying himself, kicking back with a cigar and maybe a cocktail. He might punish his liver, too, along with Neil. We kind of have a little competition going on this evening here at the Island Grill. But let's talk about what we did today with Captain Slate's Atlantis Dive Center. You can check it out, CaptainSlate.com, on the web and find out more about this diving legend who likes to feed fish with his face. He's been doing it for how many years now, right?
It's like only 33.
Only 33. And but the guy, you know, I told you that him and Neil were one of my first guests on Scuba Radio a little over 13 years ago. And I knew when I was thumbing through Skin Diver magazine at the time that this guy feeding fish with his face, I bet, is going to be a pretty interesting radio interview. And I got to say, he has lived up to the hype, to my beyond what I could ever imagine. And whenever I have the opportunity just to hang out with Captain Slate and hear a few of the stories, it's a treat in itself. But to be able to dive with him like we did this morning, that is truly amazing. And Slate, that's what makes you a legend. Come on. Fess up. People love that. That's why they come down here and dive in Key Largo with you, don't they?
I think so. I guess after 33 years and numerous, I always get hit or bitten, and it always sells videos.
Exactly. It's kind of like watching a NASCAR race and really hoping that they're going to crash. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Frazier Nivens, everybody knows Frazier. When he does the video, he always likes blood in the water. Everybody buys a video. He makes a fortune. It's a good day. I go to the hospital and get sewn back up, and we're back out next Friday.
Good to go. So every Friday morning and every what
Sunday
day?
Morning.
Sunday morning. You can do the creature feature and watch Captain Slate feed Ballyhoo out of his mouth, or feed Barracuda with Ballyhoo in his mouth, and he holds it in his teeth, and they come by, and these Barracuda and God knows what else come by and grab it right out of his mouth. It's an amazing thing.
Well, it is, but it's changed because it's the same Barracuda 35 years later, and it takes him about 5 minutes to come by. Like, come on, honey, you can make it. Come on, here's the ballyhoo. Come on now.
They're slower.
Yeah.
A little slower these days.
Well, I actually had a moor eel that lived over 10 years and got so decrepit. The poor guy had no teeth, and I would mesmerize the people that would come out. I'd pick him up, stick my hand in his mouth, and no blood.
Wow.
Poor little guy would have to force feed the ballyhoo down his throat. Poor
nice.
It was a great moor eel.
Oh, that is cool.
It was the moor eel IV feed.
Yes, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So he would gum you to death.
If that's what
okay. Yes. Go back, listen to hour one. You'll know what we're talking about there. But, you know, the thing that's cool about it, he has so many cool stories with the Barracudas. You know, we helped him name a nurse shark a few years ago. That's probably been 6-7 years ago. Hot Lips.
Yep.
The nurse, is she still hanging around?
Yeah, absolutely. All 7 feet of her. She's grown up.
Well, exactly. It was a baby nurse shark that had visited the creature feed, and we helped name him on the show, Hot Lips. And you have those stories with, what's the name of the Barracuda that you started with?
I started with Oscar.
Oscar.
I changed his name. I copied I took the fish under my wing from Steve Klim, who taught me how to do this silly thing.
Right.
Back in the late 70s. And he had called him Mr. Pollock because Steve's Polish.
Okay.
So I thought, okay, I'm going to change that name. So I...
I can't believe that Captain Slate is actually trying to do something politically correct. That is the first time in the 13-year history of Scuba Radio I've ever heard you be sensitive in any sense whatsoever as far as trying to be politically, but that's what it sounds like you said right there, or is it just like you didn't like the name?
Well, I actually had a a freshwater fish that they call Oscars that was very aggressive, and I thought it fit. So that's why I called him Oscar.
Okay, all right. So it had nothing to do with being politically correct.
It's aquatic American.
Okay, got it.
I'm trying to visualize taking a barracuda under your wing.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so and now you have different names for the barracudas you work with. Like, isn't it like Slasher or something? Or?
Well, there's one eel that we call Shredder.
Shredder, that's right, right.
We'll show you why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, you don't try this at home, kids. You hear what I'm saying? He's been doing it for 33 years. We don't recommend divers doing this type of stuff. But, you know, you come down and you see someone like Captain Slate who's done it, and, you know, he accepts the risk and puts on quite a show. And it's pretty amazing to see how he interacts with these animals up close and is developed this relationship with these animals like nothing you've ever seen on the planet. It is truly a treat to see him do the creature feature. And you know, you were telling me today, every time I come down and talk to you about, you know, hey, what animals have you seen? You know, what new critters, that kind of thing that you've interacted with. You always have a new story. He has a lobster story he shared with me this morning. You're going to hear about next. Truly amazing, even to the lobster slayer. I tell you what, it's something. That's coming up next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Dive into one of the greatest adventures of your life. Become a real treasure hunter. Spend a week diving one of the richest Spanish galleons ever to be lost at sea with the world's greatest treasure hunters. And take home up to $2,500 worth of treasure. For the first time ever, the public is invited to dive the most famous shipwreck in history. Mel Fisher's Atocha. You'll go behind the scenes on a working salvage boat, recovering treasure and artifacts that are almost 400 years old. You'll learn firsthand all about treasure hunting and historic shipwreck conservation. You'll see the charts and Atocha's treasure manifest. Working alongside Mel Fisher's dive team, you'll have the chance to find your very own piece of history and take home authentic artifacts worth up to $2,500. Trips are limited to 6 weeks each summer, so book your trip today. Call 305-294-5441 or go to melfisher.com. Today's the day.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why for the second year in a row, we have made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We're doing 4 weeks on board ourselves this year, and you're welcome to join us on any of these special adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Now if I was as rich as the Aga Khan, I'd tell you what I would do. Buy every man, woman, and child on this planet a mask and a snorkel too. Then I'd lead that wild migration, destination Wyoming Bay. Splash our way around the world. Life is just a water ballet. Come on, you beautiful swimmers. You know how to move. Let's glide across the water like a steel guitar.
Yes, you know, Jimmy Buffett paints a perfect picture here for the Florida Keys. That's where we are in Isla Mirada right now at the Island Grill, hanging out with Captain Slate, Neil Watson, Mermaid Tony, CJ. We have a nice little crew hanging out here and enjoying the evening here in the Keys. Now, Captain Slate has done this creature feature for years, and he told me a story. There's always something new when you have the opportunity to hang out with these diving legends. And he was talking about an encounter he had. I guess it was on one of your creature features, right?
About a month ago, I was out on the site where we feed, and of course I've been feeding there since the 50s, actually, because Steve Klim fed in the same spot, my mentor. And there's a lobster that hang out in this little area where you can't catch lobsters. We call it a spa, sanctuary preservation area. And I always the little lobster.
Wait, you call it a what?
Sanctuary preservation area.
A spa. It's a lobster spa.
That's right. And so I'm feeding one of the eels, and the little lobster's right out beside of him, and he started walking out, and so I scooped him up on my hand with a little piece of bait, and he walked up on my arm and walked all the way up my sleeve, just not the least bit offended that there were 20 people watching this. And he just kind of walked up my left arm, got on my shoulder, and I leaned over and looked at him. Antennas to antennas, antenna to nose, and he blinked and took off. But he walked up my arm. Frazier loved it, got it on the video, of course.
That is amazing. See, that's the ultimate lobster zen technique.
Yep.
Now, so did you clear your mind and make sure that the lobster, when you were telepathically communicating with him, you were just saying, hey, lobster, how you doing? And you kind of blocked that thought of, I'm going to eat you. Because, see, that's what I'm always trying to do when I'm down here in the Keys, especially during Florida spiny lobster season. I have this Zen lobster technique that I try to mind meld with the lobster so I can connect with them. But all of a sudden that thought comes up that I'm going to eat you. And I think they sense it, and it spooks them.
I don't know if it's that complicated. I think he wanted a piece of bait, and I had it. And
oh, okay.
I think it was, grow, little fellow, grow, because I'm going to eat you later.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, come here, play with me. I'm going to eat you. And I think as soon as he senses that, he ducks away. But I keep working it. Tony saw this technique in the Turks and Caicos on our last liveaboard trip. You saw this.
I thought it was ridiculous, but I also saw today lobster run away from you.
Well, see, that was the problem. My mind wasn't clear. I really, CJ, you have witnessed me, you know, coax the lobsters out of their holes.
Yeah, that was pathetic this morning.
Oh, well, see, it was I'm out of practice. This is my first time to kind of like see lobsters when lobster season was open. And, you know, they're a little skittish, and you really have to clear your mind. You know, okay, look, I'm the lobster slayer. Let's just throw it right out there.
Could have been all the scooters freaked him out, too.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. It wasn't me. It was the scooters. Is that a fair assessment there, Captain Slate?
I would say there was a lot of activity. What do we have? 10, 12 scooters racing?
Yeah, you know, that was a cool event. It was. This Rec Racing League thing, this was the third event that they've done. They did one around the Vandenberg and Key West initially. Then a few weeks ago, actually around Neil's birthday party that same weekend, I couldn't go to the race because I was hungover for Neil's party, right?
Get out. You're good.
Yeah, that's hard to believe, isn't it? But I said, no, I don't think this is going to be a good combination. Neil Watson's birthday party and going out diving. So I'm going to separate the two and do them both effectively and, you know, intensely.
A scooter race and that would be like Raccoons Crossing 95 with a scooter race down there. It's like, and you're wondering why they wouldn't come out of a hole?
I mean, yeah, well, hey, what are you going to do? I don't know. It was after the race, but he was spooked. I'm going to blame the scooters. It wasn't me. I definitely. Tony, what are you shaking your head at me like that?
I do believe after the scooter race, we went to an area where there weren't any scooters, and you hunted for lobster your entire second dive, and you came back skunked.
Well, I didn't find them. I couldn't see any. You have to find them. And, you know, she has this lie, or look, that Tony gives. It's very piercing, you know. She thinks she can school me on the lobster catching stuff here. And you know me, Slate. Yeah, I'm the lobster slayer, aren't I?
You are the hooker. Right?
Excuse me? Wait a minute. No, I said the lobster slayer.
The poker, and I'm the grabber.
Who's the tickler?
Hey, CJ?
Oh, my.
He'll take that title and run with it.
That's right. You loop them.
I'm a looper. She's a tickler. Yeah.
And I just grab them.
You're a grabber, and
I eat them.
You're a heater.
I'm an eater.
Okay. All right. Well, at least we have every category represented fairly here this evening in the Keys. But you know, the Rec Racing League event, really cool because, you know, we had, 22 racers today on underwater scooters racing around the wreck of the Benwood?
Yes. I'd say at least that. I mean, we had... What, four different classes? Yeah, we had a crowd.
Yeah, and you know, we had Mermaid Tony down there holding the checker flag. That was kind of a nice little addendum to their... Well, what are you laughing at? Didn't you like that? Didn't you enjoy that?
It was a lot of fun. I think I almost got run over once.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they almost took her out. You know, but that's fine. It was all good. And we got pictures and the whole thing. And you know, they're going to keep doing this event. It's just a fun... You know, activity, divers have found a new element to kind of come together and try something different and try out these DPVs, these diver propulsion vehicles, whether it's a recreational Sea-Doo or some new blade fish thing or, you know, these Pegasus thruster deals that you have that they can demo there at Captain Slade's place, right?
Right. We have they fit on your tank. They're kind of what we call hands-free, and you push the buttons, Pegasus thruster. They're really the only one like that. You can mount three on your tank.
Three of them. I saw at least two. We didn't have a triple today, did we?
No triple today. Dean Vitale, who, of course, invented them, if you will, is the races with three, and you can't catch him.
Yes. So I didn't even hear the results today. Who won the, or do we know yet? Yes. Are they still...
I can't remember his name, but he had the single big scooter, and I forgot what the name of it is. The one,
you know, these big, massive torpedo-looking things. I mean, it looks like something he had gotten from the Navy or, you know, the Navy SEALs or something.
He was the guy. He had it between his legs at the bottom.
Excuse me. Wait a minute. Hold on.
What?
Let's keep your personal life out of this. What?
So it was between his legs. He didn't even move his arms. He just had him out like Superman, and the guy was flying.
But what about the scooter?
Yeah. See, Tony picks up on those kind of things. I totally missed that one, but evidently he won the race, and it was a fun thing. But the thing is, it's a real social event. Everybody was having just a ball on the boat and just hanging out. We just kind of kicked back and watched this one. I didn't want to race. I really kind of wanted to watch the thing, scope it out. So next time I come to one of these races, I'll know how to cheat. I picked up a few tips.
Yeah, you got to be able to be one with the scooter, and those guys are. I mean, we have people coming in from Indiana that we're racing today.
That's right, hardcore, but I think I'm going to take them on the next race. RecRacingLeague.com. Check it out.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
You know, sometimes when you're hanging out at a bar in the Florida Keys, you know, everybody's getting a little socially lubricated, hanging out, Neil, Captain Slate, CJ are smoking cigars, everyone's relaxed, and during the commercial break, you know, everyone lets their guard down. They start talking about today's diving activities, and, you know, we're diving with Captain Slate this morning at the wreck thing, and we're getting ready for the dive this morning, and I don't know how we got into this conversation, but Tony had a little incident with her dive gear when we picked her up to take her to the site because her gear evidently had gotten, infested with ants or something. She had it stored over in some a van, and the ants here down in the Florida Keys, they're vicious. They find you. But they had invaded your dive gear, and we put it in the truck, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on there, right?
Yeah, it was creepy crawly and absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, they were swarming all over her dive gear.
They're obviously attracted to mermaids.
Maybe. But Neil pointed something out.
No, they're attracted to urine.
There's
two classes of divers. Those that pee in their wetsuits and those that lie.
Those that lie about being in the wetsuits.
Yes, exactly.
And, okay, Tony's holding her hand up. Which category do you fall in?
Well, I'm not a liar, but in this circumstance, this was my brand new Oceanic wetsuit, and it had been worn once, and I did not pee in it on that dive. And I rinsed it, so there was no salt on my gear. So in this case, any other time, maybe, but in this case,
Now, wait a minute. I remember having a little conversation in Grenada on our last little adventure that Tony was with us. And I remembered her coming up after the dive, and we were talking, and she goes, you know, Greg, you know, I know you're taking pictures and stuff, but I notice you are always trailing behind me. And she looks, she's like, you may not want to do that.
The wizard.
Exactly. And from then on out, I was definitely upstream from her from then on. So you kind of admitted that you do that. I said do. I didn't mean to. But you do that, right?
No, I don't do that. But, you know, I'm not a liar of a diver. And Neil's right. There are two types of divers, the liars and the ones that do it.
You sound insane. Do you realize that?
Okay. You learn something new every day here on The Big Show.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Going down for the time. My friends are gonna be there too.
Don't forget your ribbon.
Under this garb, we're perfectly ordinary Americans.
They had me all set up with the scuba guy. Made sure that I bought a waterproof watch. That's important. Gee, I'm completely out of oxygen. And look at the time. Now I'm dead and I'm late.
And I'm going down. All the way.
Hey, there we go. Man.
That was too early. Look at that. Captain Slate, Neil Watson trying to out-burp each other. You know, it can happen. Oh, there's one.
Hey.
You know, Captain Slate has a, it's kind of like nature's recall system. Yeah, it's built in, right?
Yeah, to all of my family's chagrin for I don't know how many years. Yes, I'm a great burper.
Yeah, you are a great burper. Some people would look at that as a downside thing, but no, it has multiple purposes when you're on a dive boat or run a charter operation because you are so effective at it. You always know where Captain Slate is on the boat. Like on more traditional charter operations or live aboards, they have this recall system where what the hell is going on?
A submarine's coming up.
Jeez. Warning.
Right here, see it?
Oh, my God. Well, it could be that sound, but most dive operations just take a weight, right, from your weight belt, and they'll bang on the ladder, and it'll be like three clanks, clank, 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 and if you hear that while you're underwater, that's a signal. Was that you, Tony?
Tony.
Holy crap. Yeah, you're training her well. I'm telling you. but Captain Slade doesn't need the weight belt technique. He has, you know, it kind of built into his DNA because he can burp and it'll resonate through the vessel underwater. And if you, that wouldn't be a recall, I guess. It's just like, hey, how you doing? Kind of checking in.
Just saying, hey, but I'm a crusty dive boat captain. She is a pretty mermaid.
Yes, she is a mermaid.
So when you hear a burp from her like that, you think, all right.
So, first time true story. You know, my significant other, my Brazilian girlfriend, meets Slate for the first time.
Oh, boy.
And we're, like, driving home or something. And she said, honey, she said, does Slate have, like, a medical condition? This is a true story. This way. I said, he may, but I don't know about it. Why? What do you ask? That burping thing he does. I said, no, he just burps.
Yeah. It's all good.
North Carolina, he's a redneck.
That's right.
Right.
There's no digestive issues.
No one at a fan reunion even turns their eye or looks at you.
It's hey, you know, I remember.
Forks, no spoons. You eat with your hand, you know.
Slate goes to family reunions to meet girls.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. See, this is what we got to look forward to over the next couple hours, and maybe even next week's too, show, because we're hanging out with two diving legends, Captain Slate, Neil Watson, and these are the kind of behind-the-scenes stories you hear from these guys, which are it's just amazing to have this type of conversation. Tony, are you learning anything other than how to burp?
I always do when I'm around these guys.
Yes, and you might as well pick up a few good habits, and, you know, why not? You know, you're just one of the guys, and we love it. And the fact that you just belted one out pretty good there. Now, were you, like, watching his technique, and are you thinking you might, you know, take this new skill and apply it to your studies there in Tavernier?
I've always had this skill. I've just not chosen to share it with you until tonight.
Really? Yeah, okay, so now you feel it's safe. You're in, like, a safe place where it's like, okay, I can share this this thing.
It's peer pressure. Everyone else is doing it, so I have to, too. Got it.
All right. Okay. You know what would be really cool is if we can have Captain Slate and Mermaid Tony in, like, a burp-off. It would be a scuba radio first.
I agree, and I'm ready.
You're ready.
I've never heard a girl say, in the presence of Slate and Neil Watson, a safe place.
Good point. I haven't either, now that you mention it. But, hey, we're in the Florida. Oh, there's the alarm. It's not safe.
There's the alarm. There's the alarm.
Dive! Dive!
Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. All right, you got one ready, Tony? Can you let one rip? Okay, she's waiting. She's waiting. She has to work it up. She has to fill her glass, and then maybe we'll have our scuba radio burp off. You know, we did this a few years ago at DEMA, where
the one day I couldn't get but a little meek burp up. It was scary. I don't know.
And you know, that day, a beautiful girl ended up winning the Captain Slate burp off at DEMA.
Well, hey. One day I'm good, one day I'm not. Hey, very seldom I'm not, but that day I won.
Yes, but this little, like, 5'2" girl, beautiful young lady, you know, she out-burped everybody in the audience. These 400-pound diver guys, and it was impressive. She had an impressive skill. So I don't know, maybe that's a thing that, you know, beautiful girls or mermaids don't really like to share until you get to know them, peel away those layers, and then... Oh, I just heard something. She did. Okay, next time, wait until I'm ready.
I'm sorry. They're there when they're there. I'm sorry. I can't just...
Okay, she needs more training, doesn't she, Captain Slate?
Yeah, she's doing well. Are you kidding? A feminine, pretty girl that can burp like that? Yeah,
she has the natural talent, is what you're saying.
Absolute dive industry talent. That's what we look for.
Exactly. All right.
It's like that car commercial says, power is nothing unless it's wielded with precision.
Okay. I'll accept that for sure. Now, you know, you know, this is the kind of fun stuff you can have just hanging out with the divers on the boat after a day of diving, which is what we're doing here in the Florida Keys. Now, what we did today was that Rec Racing League event. What is it? H2O? What is it? What do they call it? Or Formula H2O, right?
It's a shootout. It's the dive industry, or the dive scooter shootout is what he calls it.
Right.
But H2O is his little company thing.
Yeah, Formula H2O, kind of like a play on NASCAR underwater with scooters and divers and that kind of thing. This event here in Key Largo at Captain Slate's Place, your place today, was actually a memorial event for Wes Skiles, your buddy, right?
Yeah, Wes, of course, sadly passed away this past July. Unexpectedly, and I've known him since we worked in the same dive shop in Jacksonville, where he's from, and I've known him since he was 16. So, tragic loss to the industry, of course, and actually the filmmaking is what he does.
Yeah, but he would have loved this, and that's one of the reasons I think you guys kind of said, hey, let's make this kind of a memorial event and maybe make it an annual event and remember Wes and his spirit and that kind of thing, right?
Exactly. That's what we're doing. Who could forget Wes? If you didn't know him, all you do is look through National Geographic or any of those magazines that publish his stuff, which are most of them.
Yes, exactly. All the underwater stuff, the Florida Aquifer, he was responsible for. Oh, hey, there it is.
Almost fell out of my chair.
Yes, look, I think you got something on me. Oh, boy.
Whoa.
There's some downside to this stuff too, but hey, that's part of the things you do as a radio show host. Okay, you just suck it up and do it. But yeah, you know, Wes would have loved this. He was such a great guy, and all that stuff from the Florida aquifer. He went and he would go in with these scooters,
right,
and he would just traverse like miles into the Florida aquifer and track, graph this stuff so people would know where the fresh water was coming from underground in the springs and in the system here in Central Florida and North Florida, right?
Yeah, he actually was commissioned by the state to do an aquifer study, which is underground stream of fresh water all through the coral rock, lime rock base of the state. And he came from north of the Everglades in that Kissimmee River Basin and dove in all the caves and filmed the they released dye, and he did a story about how
right. He
comes all the way down through Lake Okeechobee, and he worked his way down underwater, underground, till the water came out here, actually in Key Largo, Northern Keys, and we filmed that part of the open water stuff here. And he actually made two sequence videos called Water's Journey.
I saw them. They were phenomenal things, and he would just do some amazing treks through the these cave systems that were highly technical. I mean, definitely extreme diving type of stuff, but definitely on the cutting edge. This is like visiting the moon type stuff that Wes did, and that was just his life. He was an adventurer for sure, and definitely somebody to watch. But just a great guy, just like I've had the opportunity to get to know Neil and Captain Slade over the years. Wes, same type of person. I think that kind of camaraderie in the dive industry is just part of being a diver. Do you think, Neil?
You know, part of it. What's neat about growing up in the industry is the guys as a kid you would hang out with and whatever, and we were just a bunch of wild and crazy kids, and now suddenly we're like legends and leaders of the industry. We're just a bunch of pirates and crazy kids, you know?
Absolutely. I have a feeling if Wes was here right now, he would be challenging you on a burp off or something. You hear what I'm saying, Captain Slade?
Well, of course he would, and he'd probably be right up there in the top three.
Right under Mermaid Tony. Tony, give me one. Come on.
Okay. How's that?
Wow. Impressive.
Greg the Dive Master is sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Bula, that's the greeting you get from the smiling, generous Fijians who welcome you to Fiji. And while Fiji's friendly people, white sand beaches, rainforest, and waterfalls are a huge draw for any traveler, divers in the know consider Fiji the soft coral capital of the world. With direct regular flights from LAX on Air Pacific, it's never been easier to live your Fiji experience. Go to FijiMe.com to book dive packages from backpacker to five-star spa resorts. That's FijiMe.com.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Radio.
So here's some advice I wish I would have got when I was your age. Live every week like a shark week.
Now the party don't start till I dive in.
Jump in with your fins. We promise you won't get the fins today. We will play in an underwater way. Here we go with the show. Time to let those bubbles blow in. Scuba Radio, oh, Scuba Radio, oh. Jump in with your fins. We promise you won't get the fins today. We will play in an underwater way. Here we go with the show. Time to let those bubbles blow with Scuba Radio, oh, Scuba Radio, oh.
That was awesome.
Yeah, you know, it was. That was actually CJ, and he's here with us here in the Florida Keys right now. CJ, holding up okay?
I'm trying to light a cigar.
Okay. And Mermaid Tony keeps burping and blowing your flame out, right?
It's like the incredible Mr. Limpet.
Okay. Interesting. I'm not sure what to think about that. But, hey, you know, anything goes when you're in the Florida Keys, and that's what we're doing. We're hanging out with Neil Watson, Captain Slate, Mermaid Tony, CJ, and obviously yours truly. And we're just having a good time kicking back at an outdoor bar called the Island Grill. Right here in Isla Mirada. Like mile marker, what is it, 82-ish? 85. All right, just over the Snake River Bridge, or something,
Snake
right?
Creek.
Snake Creek Bridge. There you go. Now, Captain Slate and Neil Watson, very seldom do I have the opportunity to have these two dive legends together in one spot. It happens in a rare instance here and in there over the last 13 years, but it's always a special treat to have these two guys together because they go way back. And Captain Slate, I got to say, do you have any Neil Watson stories? And, of course, then I'll ask Neil if he has any Captain Slate stories. I have a feeling we could have an interesting little reflection of your troublemaking history together.
Well, of course, everyone knows Neil and one of his world's records where it was breathing air at 437 feet.
That's right. World record. One of four records that Neil has.
I had known who Neil was, hadn't met him, and when I came to the Keys and opened the store in 78, 79, a friend of both of ours, Tom Greeno, and I took a boat over to Bimini for a fun time and to dive with Neil. I was all excited, get to dive with the legend. Then, and we went out on the reef right outside the wall, right outside of Bimini, with Neil on Tom's boat, and he's wearing this Hawaiian backpack where you can do no BC. You can take it off, put it on,
like a hard pack,
right?
Like hard pack BC.
We're down at about right at the top of the wall, 120 feet. Neil swims up to me, takes his backpack completely off, and hands it to me. And I'm thinking, okay. And he takes a breath on his regulator and free dives down the wall with his jet long fins, and I kind of lean over the side of the wall, and he disappeared.
Oops.
And I'm thinking,
he decided just off himself.
I looked over at Tom, and I'm thinking, okay, we're going to watch something happen here, real tragic or what? And I'm looking for Neil, and of course he swam down out of sight along the wall, came up behind me, and after about a minute and a half, I was kind of thinking maybe this guy, I don't want to be here if anything really bad happens at his
right
time. And taps me on the shoulder. He'd done a U-turn around the wall and came up behind me.
And spooked you.
And spooked me.
Nice.
And his backpack bag, which was a daily routine for Neil on his dive. So, I mean, hey, that was my introduction to the famous Neil Watson.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
He did not let me down.
Yes, exactly. He lived up to the hype.
Absolutely.
Just like you did when I met you for the first time, and we had some interesting conversations, and you started burping and all kinds. It was a beautiful thing. And, Neil, do you remember this incident, or do you just is that pretty much your typical introduction when you meet someone that knows about your reputation?
As best I can remember, we were partying the night before, and I was just trying to clear my head.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you forgot where he was, and you kind of asked.
You know, it was just like, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Exactly. Right. Now, what about Captain Slade? Do you have a little reflection? Do you remember meeting him the first time? Oh, there he is.
You know, my worst diving injury is a result of Captain Slate.
Really? Uh-oh. This is not good, I have a feeling.
This guy, you know, he started this fish feeding thing, and hate to be upstaged. And this guy's, like, getting a reputation. So I figured, barracudas, how hard is it to feed a barracuda?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so I'm over in Walker's Cay doing a filming. Actually, it was with sharks, but we had a barracuda named Charlie. And they had been feeding it with, you know, with the ballyhoo and whatever.
Right.
So I said, how hard can this be? So we went out one day, and I fed the ballyhoo, and he took it, and I got a great picture. It was just wonderful. But we didn't quite get the shot we wanted. So we go out the next day, and I'm trying to set this thing up just perfect. So I'm trying, and I forget that, you know, the barracuda wasn't privy to the plan that we had.
Right.
So
didn't know you were filming for TV.
I reached in the BC and I took out the ballyhoo to put it in my mouth, but the light wasn't quite right. So I'm waving the ballyhoo over my head, trying to get everybody in position.
Yeah.
And Charlie, the barracuda, is figuring, dude, I've never done it like this before, but whatever. I saw like a streak of lightning go past me, and I looked down, and my little finger is hanging, dangling.
Oh.
My thumb, there's a big hole in it, and you know, at depth, blood's green.
Oh, yeah, you lose the red,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it, like this green stuff's pumping out of my hand, and I said, this is really not good. So you know, I start swimming to the surface, and my dive master, Gary Atkinson, great shark guy, whatever, comes swimming up, and he said, you want me to airlift you out of here? And I said, well, you know, the whole purpose is, you know, we got this film crew, and we're supposed to do the shark thing, you know, with a chumsicle. I said, is there anybody here that can treat me? So he says, well, you know, I was a corpsman in Nam, and I treat the dogs and stuff over here. I can probably take care of this. So
well, that makes me feel better.
Oh, yeah. So we go to the shark site. This is like, you know, the chumsicle, like 150 sharks. So they taped an ice bag on my hand. It's filling up with blood. I dive down, and the photographer wouldn't get close enough to shoot the thing, you know, because the sharks and whatever. So we come back up. He's got one little room set up like his clinic for taking care of the dogs. And he says, Neil, he said, I don't have, like, the stuff that kills the pain.
Right.
And I said, do you have Palit Gold?
Exactly.
I said, bring me six.
Okay.
I chugged six. He sent and sewed me up. And you can't see this because it's radio, but that ain't straight.
Now put that back in your pants, will you? That's really offensive. Hey, that'll have to do it for this week's edition of The Big Show. More next week. Don't miss it. Till then, remember, it's always better
down where it's wetter.
Good diving, everybody. Woo!
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.